Welcome to the Urology Care Podcast. I'm here on the campus of MedStar Georgetown University Hospital here in the Georgetown section of Washington, D.C. I have a longtime friend of the Urology Care Foundation and incoming American Urological Association President, Dr. John Lynch, on the program today. He's got a very unique story because he is a prostate cancer survivor. He also works with prostate cancer patients. We're going to talk to him today a little bit about his journey with prostate cancer and the work that he does today. And I'm just going to welcome him now. Welcome, Dr. Lynch, to the program.
Good morning, Casey. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
So if you don't mind, can you just tell me some background on your prostate cancer journey and kind of how you found out you had it?
Well, I've been dealing with prostate cancer patients for my entire career since 1979. I have a family history of prostate cancer, and of course, when the recommendations came out for screening, I would have my PSA checked every year. I can remember talking with patients and kind of joking, saying I'm just waiting to get mine, never realizing that it would ever really happen, or never thinking that it would ever really happen. So at one point this one year, my PSA jumped a little bit, more than I would like to see it jump, although it was still back then considered in the normal range. So I repeated it with what's called a free and total ratio. That's when we check PSAs, we're checking all the PSA in the circulation. Some of it is free by itself, and some of it binds to protein to form complexes. So the lower the free to total ratio, the higher the risk of cancer, the higher the ratio, the lower the risk of cancer. So I had a normal PSA value, but my free to total ratio was 3%, which is remarkably low. In fact, I have never seen a free to total ratio that low. And I sort of convinced myself at first that it was not important because my PSA was in the normal range. But after some further thinking, I decided it was probably a good time to go ahead and get a biopsy. And the biopsy came back positive. I can tell you the exact day where I was in the car. It was a gorgeous sunny day just like this. It was 3:30 in the afternoon when the pathologist called. So it's a rude awakening when you get a call like that.
Yeah. At the time, how long had you been working with prostate cancer patients?
Well, I was diagnosed in 2002, so 20-some years I had been working with patients with prostate cancer.
I just want to kind of go into the fact that I just first want to ask, were you your own prostate cancer doctor? Like, how did you figure, did you make the decisions? Did you see a specialist in prostate cancer as well? How'd that work out?
Well, having been involved in prostate cancer patients and in clinical trials for 10 or 15 years prior to that, I knew most of the other urologists in the country that are well experienced in dealing with prostate cancer patients. And I reached out and talked to a number of them and made a decision, because I was in my early 50s, that I wanted to go ahead and proceed with a radical prostatectomy. At that time, there was no robotic procedures that were done frequently enough. And so I had a, if you'll pardon the expression, an old-fashioned radical prostatectomy through an incision. My big decision at that time was, where was I going to have this done? I talked to friends in Baltimore and New York and Colorado and elsewhere, and they were all, of course, willing to do the surgery. But then I finally realized what was more important to me is, one, I had family here, and being with family through this process was extremely important. And two is, how could I really recommend to my patients that I'm going to do their surgery here when I'm not willing to do it here myself? So that was pretty obvious to me. It took me a little while to realize that, but once I did, there was no question that I had it done here by a couple of my faculty.
Do you think you are at any sort of advantage having all the knowledge that you do of prostate cancer, or do you think there really wasn't too much of an advantage for you?
I think there was a tremendous advantage in terms of knowing what to expect from the surgery, the potential problems that could be related to the surgery, the recovery process, and patients in dealing with all this. So from that perspective, I think it was a great benefit to me.
In the sense that it kind of lessened your anxiety about it? Is that what you mean?
Correct. Yeah, it certainly lessened my anxiety. And the first time you get a diagnosis of a cancer, you finally realize that there is something that could result in your life. And I think for most prostate cancer patients who are diagnosed early, that's certainly not the truth. And once you as a patient get over that, then I think you can take the time, research all the options, and come to a decision on how you're going to treat it and move forward.
Even though you had the family history of the disease, do you think you were still caught off guard a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. It's never going to happen to me, right?
Yeah.
That's what we all say, but it did happen to me. I was caught off a little guard. Certainly there's a higher risk in myself because I have a family history, and I didn't think I would ever get it.
Do you have any advice for patients that, or their loved ones who have men in their family, that when it comes to prostate cancer, do you have any advice about early detection?
Mine was picked up on early detection. Back then, when I had my surgery, we didn't really know what active surveillance was. Would I be diagnosed today with the same disease? I would probably go on active surveillance. But I think the main thing for patients and their families to recognize is that early prostate cancer is certainly curable in most situations, and it is always treatable. Sometimes we don't need to treat it. We just need to follow it. So the key really is early detection.
Yeah.
The patient has to realize that this is not a threat to their life. And so they just need to deal with it so it never becomes that.
You mentioned active surveillance. Do you want to just tell us what that is one more time, just a reminder?
There are certain risk factors when it comes to prostate cancer, and there's a Gleason scoring system. The lower the number, the less risk. The higher the number, the higher the risk. The Gleason scoring system basically goes from 6 to 10. So someone who has Gleason 6 prostate cancer in a very small amount of the biopsy can easily pursue what we call active surveillance. That means that this is a very slow-growing cancer. It is very early, and it does not need to be treated at the present time. They can't walk out the door and forget they have the disease, but if they follow it closely with active surveillance protocols, they should be able to intervene with treatment if and when it becomes necessary.
Sure. What do we know about active surveillance now that we might not have known back when you were diagnosed?
Well, now we know the natural. Now we are much more familiar with the natural history of early prostate cancer. We know that active surveillance works. What that means is checking PSAs and digital rectal exams periodically, undergoing a second confirmative biopsy in a year. Now we have MRIs to follow patients with, so we have much better tools that we can follow the cancer in these patients and intervene if necessary and only when necessary. So patients are not subject to treatments and with their potential outcomes and complications when they don't really need to be. And it's not really it won't really have a significant impact on their life from or death from prostate cancer if they follow it.
Do you have any other final thoughts you want to tell us?
Again, early detection is the key in prostate cancer, so I wholeheartedly agree with the guidelines that our American Urological Association has produced and all the educational material that's available to patients on the Urology Care Foundation website. Again, the key is early detection. The key is understanding as much as you can about the disease process, picking your treatment options if you need to pick an option, and move forward and don't second guess your decision.
Yeah, and the last question I want to ask is, do you think having had prostate cancer, it gives you more empathy now with dealing with prostate cancer patients, or did it play any role in that, you think?
Casey, that's a funny story. I remember prior to my surgery, I went up to with our family to visit some other family, and I was walking on the New Jersey shore with my wife, and she stopped and looked at me, and she said, "You know, you're going to be a better physician because of this." I was kind of taken aback by that, but looking back on that statement, I think she was absolutely correct. I mean, I have more empathy. I understand what patients are going through. I understand the dilemma they sometimes face on the decisions, and I can also, I think, help them get through the treatment with its outcomes and potential complications and benefits.
I'm going to let that be the final word, and I want to thank my guest today, Dr. John Lynch of Georgetown MedStar University Hospital in Washington, D.C., from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, is that right?
That's originally, yeah.
You've been in D.C. a long time, though.
Since 1961.
Thanks again, Dr. Lynch.
All right, take care, Casey. Thank you.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Urology Care Foundation, the official foundation of the American Urological Association. For more information on today's topic and for all things urology health, visit urologyhealth.org.